Mesechtes Bava Kama, Daf Lamed Gimel, 10 lines from the top of Daf Lamed Gimel, and Alf Tana Rabbanan, and the Gemara begins with the Braisa, Poilim Shabu Lutvay Scharim Mibalabayas. If employees came to collect wages from their employer while they were in his home, Vinachon Sherishal Balabayas, Vinashon Kalbashal Balabayas, and either the axe of the Balabayas gored them, or the dog of the Balabayas bit them, Vamesu, and they died. So the Tana Kama says, Pata, and the Bach explains, Dicht Bitsida, Hainu Mikoifa, they only Pata from Kaifa, Al Mikomokam, Hasho Biskila, the Shah. Will be chayiv skila, as we already learned on Daf Chav Gimel and Beis. And the Braisa continues. Achirim Imrim, however, Achirim state Rishayim Pelim L'Tvoya Scharim Baal Beis. There is a right for employees to collect their schar and to collect their wages from their employer, and therefore the Baal Beis would be chayiv. And the Gemara asks, Hechidami, what is the case of the Braisa? Either Shchir Pemasa my time at Achirim. If we're discussing an employer who goes out of his home and goes to the city, so what would be the reason that Achirim state that he could go into his home to collect your wages, wait for him to leave his home, and then you could go and ask for your wages, therefore l'chayra, the employer should be potter, and either shchir pebayis, and if we're talking about a case where the employer doesn't go out of his home, and he stays in his home, so my time in the Tana Kama, why would the Tana Kama paskin that the employer is potter, if l'chayra, the employee had a right to go and demand his wages, and he could go into his home, and therefore the employer should be chayiv, and the Gemara answers, le'tzricha begavet the shchiach, v'lo shchiach, we're talking about a person that sometimes leaves his home and goes to the shuk, and sometimes he doesn't, v'kari abavva amaluhu in, then when the employee came to the employer's house, and he knocked on the door, and the employer said yes. So masava in ulta mashma. So achirim hold when the employer says yes, he means to say you could come into my home. Umasava in. However, the Tana Kama holds that even though the employer said in, he meant to say kum dechtoich mashma. Wait over there, and I'm going to come to you. And therefore, the fi achirim, since the employer had permission to go into the home, so therefore the employer will be chayiv. However, according to the Tana Kama, the employer never received permission to go into the home. That's why the fi Tana Kama, the Baal Bayis will be potter. He points out that the only time this machlik is between the Tana Kama and Achirim is only in a case where the employer and the Baal Bayis is a gavra de shriach v'lo shriach. However, Zok Taisis and Diva Maskel begavra de shriach v'lo shriach. And Taisis explains, e shriach, if it's normal for the Baal Bayis to leave his home and go to the marketplace, so pshitle de kum and dechtoich mashma, then certainly even though the Baal Bayis said in, he meant to stay there and I'm going to come to you, be lo shriach. And if it's a case where it's not normal for the Baal Bayis to leave his home, im kein badai ol tov mashma, in that case, certainly when the Baal Bayis used a term of in, then he meant to say, you come into my home. And we see from Taisus that this question of the Gemara is a very mitziyistic question as to what the standard is at that time and what a person means when someone knocks on the door. And this is a very fact-based question. And therefore, the Rosh actually points out that this is the reason why the Rif doesn't bring down these halachas, as Lemaisa, these halachas are only fact-based and only based on that time. We have to look at what the Derech Bnei Adam is in every single generation, every spot, as to what the norm would be in that area. And the Gemara continues, Tani Kamanda Omar, in kum dechtoich mashma, we have a brisa like the Tana Kama that says when the Baal Bayis stayed in, and he's a gavra de shriach v'lo shriach, that he means to say that he should wait there, I'm going to come to you, and therefore you had no right to go into his rishus, and the Baal Bayis will be potter. The Tana we learned to the brisa, poyel shenichlas l'tvoy yischarim in Baal Bayis, in the same case that we just brought down, in the case where the worker comes to be tevei his wages from the Baal Bayis, v'nachon shor shor Baal Bayis, oy neshachar kalboy potter, and this brisa they ate in three words, afal pi shenichlas rishus, and even though the Poel came in with permission of the Baal Bayis. The Gemara therefore asks, am I potter l'chayra, if the Poel had permission to come into the home, so how could it be the Baal Bayis will be potter? El lav, the kari above of amalei in, it must be talking about a case where the Poel knocked on the door, and the Baal Bayis responded and said in, b'shmah mino, in kum adechtoich mashma, then in this case, even though the Baal Bayis said in, he meant to say to stay where you are, and therefore the Baal Bayis will be potter, if the Poel comes into his home, and the Baal Bayis responds in. And Taisus points out, tanya kumad amal kum adechtoich mashma, and this Bryson must be talking about a case where it was Shriach and not Shriach for the Baal Bayis. The Ibe Shriach, Zeloi Hayakur, Nichnis Bershus, the Pshita to come and Dukhtach Mashmo. Certainly, if it was normal for the Baal Bayis to go out of his home and to go to the Shuk, then certainly the Baal Bayis meant to say that stay where you are and I'm going to come to you. And Taisa doesn't point out the opposite case, that if it would be a case where the Baal Bayis is not normal to leave his home and he generally stays home, then certainly when the Baal Bayis said in, he meant to say you should come in, and certainly in that case he would be. And we continue with the new Mishnah, and this Mishnah will discuss the dinim of a shor that shtoises and the din of Karen. And of course, as we know, that if there's a shor that shtoises and it's a tam, then the owner would pay chetzi nezek migufay, and if it would be a muad, then the owner would pay nezek shalom min aliyah. And Taisus in Diba Masal Shnei Shvarim Tam and Shechavul Zabzeb points out, Tema, the chayr, it's a shverkite, the kul masis and shein tzvichi, the lechayr, this entire Mishnah is not necessary, as lechayr, we already know all the dinim that will stay in our Mishnah, and ayin in Taisus. What the chiddushes of our Mishnah, and the Mishnah starts, Shei Shvarim Tamin Shechavlu Zeh Zeh, if there are two Shvarim that are Tamin, and they both damage each other, and they get into a fight, and both of the animals are damaged, Mishalim V'Moisa Chatzi Nezek, then we have to look at the damage that is caused to each of the animals, and then based on the offset of the damages, we will see which one is damaged more, and the owner that damaged more will have to pay to the other owner Chatzi Nezek. And we will only give an example in this case, and for example, if Reuven's Shur was worth $200, and Shimon's Shur was also worth $200, and Reuven and Shimon's Shur get into a fight, and Reuven's Shur damaged Shimon's Shur, and now Shimon's Shur is valueless and has a value of zero, also damaged Reuven's Shur prior to being killed. Now, instead of Reuven's Shur being valued at $200, it's only valued at $100. Reuven damaged Shimon by $200, and Shimon damaged Reuven the amount of $100. And of course, if you now offset the damages, then it comes out that Reuven damaged Shimon in the amount of $100, and therefore, since Reuven's animal was a tam, so Reuven would be responsible to pay to Shimon $50 migufay, and only from the value of his animal that is still alive. And since Reuven's animal is still worth $100, therefore Reuven would have to pay to Shimon $50. And the Mishnah continues, Shnei Muadin, if both of these oxen would be Muadin, Mishal V'Maisin, Nezik Shalim, then once again you'd offset the damages. And for example, in the case that we gave, then instead of paying $50, Reuven would be chayiv to pay to Shimon $100. And the Mishnah continues with the third case, Echad Tam V'Echad Muad, if Reuven's animal is a tam and Shimon's animal is a muad, Muad B'Tam Mishal V'Maisin, Nezik Shalim. If it turns out that the damages that the Muad did was more than the damages that the Tam did, so certainly you'd pay in whatever the offset is, and you have to pay Nezek Shalim. However, Tam B'Muad, Mishal B'Maisa Chetzi Nezek, if the damages that the Tam caused was more than the damages that the Muad caused, then we would offset the damages, and now the owner of the Tam would have to pay Chetzi Nezek on whatever that amount is. And in this case, let us give an example, as there are two ways to understand this, and two ways to calculate this. As let us say, Reuven's animal that's a Tam, Shtois the animal of Shimon, and it causes $200 of damage to Shimon. Meanwhile, Shimon's animal that is Muad only caused $100 of damage to Reuven's animal. Now, if you simply just look at the offset of the difference between the damages, it comes out that Reuven damaged Shimon by $200 and Shimon damaged Reuven by $100, and therefore the offset is that Reuven actually caused $100 of damage to Shimon, and therefore Reuven would have to pay $50 to Shimon because Reuven's animal is a Tam. This seems to be the pashas of the way Rashi learns our Gemara. However, other Rishonim learn, we have to look at the damages that each one caused individually, and therefore, since Reuven's animal was a Tam and it caused $200 of damage to Shimon, so really Reuven owes $100 to Shimon. Meanwhile, Shimon's animal, who is a Muad, shtois Reuven's animal and caused $100 of damage to Reuven, and therefore Shimon really owes Reuven $100 as well, and this way both of those damages will offset each other, and therefore if you calculate it in this manner, it'll actually come out that Reuven does not owe any money to Shimon at all. And the Mishnah continues that instead of only discussing animals, the Mishnah now adds in an Adam that was mazik someone, and the Mishnah states, V'chein shnei anashim shechavlu zeh bezeh, that if there are two people that were fighting and each one hurt each other, Mishal V'Maisin Nezek Shalim, once again, you know, offset the damages. And for example, if Reuven damaged Shimon for $200 and Shimon damaged Reuven only $100, then Reuven would be chayiv to pay Shimon $100. And the Mishnah continues, Adam Muad, Muad B'Adam, if let's say there was actually a fight between a person and an animal that's a Muad, and either the person damaged the Muad more than the Muad damaged the person, or the opposite, Mishal V'Maisin Nezek Shalim, then once again, you'd offset the damages, and whichever party damaged the other in a larger amount would have to pay Nezek Shalim. However, Adam Etam, Etam Ba'adam, if it's a case where a person damages a Tam, and then the Tam damages a person, Adam Etam, Mishal V'Maisin Nezek Shalim, then if the person's damages to the Tam is greater than the amount that the Tam damages a person, then he would have to pay for whatever the excess is, and he'd have to pay Nezek Shalim on the offset amount. However, Tam Ba'adam, Mishal V'Maisin Chetzi Nezek, if the amount that the Tam damages a person is more than the amount that the person damages the Tam, then on that amount, the owner of the Tam would pay Chetzi Nezek, and once again, we would have the same machlekes between Rashi and the other Rishonim. And the Mishnah ends off for Bekiva Imer. Bekiva argues on the point that we just made, and he states, Af Tam Shechal Ba'adam, Mishal V'Maisin Nezek Sholim, that if anyone's animal that's a Tam damages a person, then the whole concept of Chetzi Nezek doesn't apply, and we will see that we will learn this out of a pasuk. However, the Shita also brings a Svar, and he says that it's parts B'Yosa, as it's not normal for an animal, even a Tam, to go and damage a person, because generally an animal should be scared of a person, and therefore since it was parts B'Yosa and damaged a person, therefore the owner of the Tam would have to pay Nezek Shalim. And keep in mind that in the case of V'chein Shnei Anoshim Shechavlu Zeh Bezeh, the Mefarshim discuss what would be the din in the case of self-defense. And of course, if a person is only defending themselves, then they would not be chayiv for any damage. And Ayin and Mefarshim discuss the concept of proportionality, and this din is based on the concept of Avinash Dil Nafshei, and the Gemara will now begin and discuss the machlekes between the Tanakam and Rabbi Kiva. Before beginning the Gemara, let's just point out that the Pasuk in Pashat Mishpatim states, V'chigach sharisish oyisisha v'meisak l'isak l'ashar v'le ochlos b'sari b'al ashar naki, and that is talking about a time that stresses a person, and then the Pasuk states, V'mshar nagachu mitmel shilsham v'hu b'valo v'le yishmeno v'hemis isha isha hashar yisakul v'gam b'al of yumas. This second Pasuk is discussing a case of a shar mu'ad that kills a person, and then the Pasuk says, Oy ben yigach, oy bas yigach, kamishpah azeh ye osaloi, and the Mefarshim explained that since we already spoke about a tam and mu'ad that killed a person, therefore, as we will see in our Gemara, that this Pasuk is referring to an animal that damages a person. And then a few Pesukim later, in Pasuk Lamed Hey, the Pasuk says, V'chigav shar ish ashar e'u v'meis, u'machris ashar achai, v'chatsu es kaspoi, v'gamis ha'meis yachatsun, referring to an animal that's a tam that damages another animal. And then finally, the Pasuk states, in Pasuk Lamed Vav, oy noida kishar nagachu mitmel shishon, v'leishmer and balov, shal misham, shar tachas ashar, v'amesi eloi, referring to a shar mu'ud that damages a shar, and he would pay nezek shalim. Based on these Pesukim, the Gemara begins, Tanur Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa that the Pasuk stated, Kamishpa zeh ye osilai, and we learn out, Kamishpa shar b'shar, that just like we have a din, that if shar damages a shar, that a certain din that apply, kach mishpa shar ba'odam, the same din applies to a shar that damages a person. Therefore, the Fida Tanakama, this Pasuk is actually teaching us, when a shar damages a person, then the same dinim of a shar that damages a shar apply. We have to reference Pasuk Lamed Hey and Pasuk Lamed Vav, which talks about a shar tam that stresses a shar, or a shar mu'ud that stresses a shar, and therefore, even when a shar stresses a person and damages a person, so the same din would apply, that if a tam did the damage, then you'd pay chatsi nezek, and if a mu'ud did the damage, then you pay nezek shalem. And although we will see in a moment, Rabbi Kiva will actually learn that there's a mi'ud from the word hazeh that states, kamish b'zeh ye asalai, but we also see in the Gemara, the Tanakama uses the lashon hazeh to teach us a different limud. And as the Gemara states, mas shar b'shar, tam mishalem chatsi nezek, u'mu'ud nezek shalem, af shar ba'odam, also a shar that damages a person, tam mishalem chatsi nezek, u'mu'ud nezek shalem. However, Rabbi Kiva argues in the Tanakama, and he holds if a shar damages a person, then no matter what, the owner of the shar would pay nezek shalem. And he says, I learned this from this pasuk gufa, as the pasuk says, kamish b'zeh, that is like this mishpat, and therefore there's a mi'at, and it teaches us that it's only kitachta v'leka elyoin. Since right before this pasuk, we already spoke about the case of a shar that is a tam that killed a person, and then we spoke about a shar that's a mu'ud that kills a person. So therefore, this pasuk is a continuation, and it's telling us any time that a shar damages a person, the din of that shar will be like a mu'ud. The owner will be required to pay nezek shalem, and he doesn't have a din like the prior pasuk, and it doesn't have a din like a tam, and the owner does not pay chatzin nezek. But Kiva continued, Yachal mishalem min aliyah. So you may think that since this animal that's a tam and damage a person, that he pays nezek shalem, so maybe he also have a din like a mu'ud, and he have to pay min aliyah and not mikufay tam eloy me yasalay. So the pasuk tells us that this din of payment comes from the animal itself, as mikufay mishalem ve'in mishalem min aliyah. It's only done to the animal and yasalay, and therefore the owner that's going to pay nezek shalem still only has to pay that from the guf of the animal. And for example, if the shor is only worth $100 and meanwhile it caused $200 of damage to Shimon, then Reuven would only have to pay $100 to Shimon. And l'chayra, based on the fact that Bekiva says, then in this case, although you'll pay nezek shalem, the mazik would still only have to pay migufay and not min aliyah. It seems to be against the svara that we brought from the shita that this tam is part b'yaisa. As l'chayra, according to shita, it seems to be that this svara that this tam is considered mu'ud, and therefore l'chayra, why do you pay migufay? But it could be that it is included in gzeiras hakasev, and that's why we actually need a gzeiras hakasev to teach us yasalay migufay mishalem ve'in mishalem min aliyah. As we wouldn't have gzeiras hakasev, then we would say min asvara you would pay min aliyah. The Gemara continues that l'chayra Rabbi Kiva has a good tainer that the pasuk says kamish plazeh, and the Gemara asks Rabbanan hazel lamli, what did Rabbanan do with the word hazeh? And the Gemara answers l'paitim abadvarim, that the pasuk is teaching you when Reuven shar damages Shimon, that although generally if a person damages another person he has to pay nezek sar ripui shavus and baishus, however in a case where the animal of a person damages a person, then you only have to pay nezek and you don't have to pay sar ripui shavus or baishus. And as Rashi says, d'achim mashma mishpat zeh yesh lo l'shalom nezek shalom, is only in this mishpat that you pay nezek shalom v'loy mishpat adam achayil b'chaveri, but this doesn't apply by the person that damages his friend, as over there you not only have to pay nezek shalom, you'd have to pay sar ripui shavus and baishus. And the Gemara continues, Rabbi Kiva l'paitim abadvarim minole, since Rabbi Kiva already used the word hazeh, so how does Rabbi Kiva know that if a shor damages a person, that he's only chayav to pay nezek, and he doesn't have to pay tzar vipo shavus and baishus? And the Gemara says, nafgalei meish kiyitim bum b'misoy, that since in Pashas Emma, when the Torah speaks about a person that damages a person, and the Torah states, ish kiyitim bum b'misoy, and therefore we learn out, ish b'misoy, it's only when a person damages another person, v'loy shor b'misoy, and it's not talking about a case where an animal damages a person, as if an animal damages a person, person, you only pay nezek and you don't pay abadvarim. And the Gemara now asks on the Rabbanon that since Rabbi Akiva brought a pasuk in Pashas Emor that says ishkitin mum ba misai, so l'chira, why don't they learn from there and why do they need the extra pasuk of hazeh? And the Gemara answers imahi, if we'd only have the pasuk of ishkitin mum ba misai, have mina tzalachudei, we would say that there is only saying over there that b'negei tzar, and as Taisus points out that some agarius boishes as well, that it only applies to a person that damages a person and doesn't apply if an animal damages a person. However, reaper v'sheves b'negei reaper in sheves, which is really a type of hezek because you actually cause a real loss to the person, emalitle, maybe we would say that even if an animal damages a person, that the owner of the animal would still be chayiv to pay for a reaper in sheves kamash b'lan, and therefore the pasuk states hazeh to teach us that none of the da'abad varm are relevant when a person, the animal, damages a person, and the only time that's a din of da'abad varm is only when a person damages another person. And we continue with the Mishnah, shor shav mana shenogach shor shav masayim ve'in nevelu yafaklum neitel sashar. If an animal which is a tam shtoises another animal, and we know that a tam pays chetzi nezek, but it only pays megufay, if the shor tam, which was valued at $100, shtoises a shor, which originally was worth $200, and now the nevelu is not worth anything, and therefore the nezek had a complete loss, Reuven, who is the owner of the shor tam, is going to be chayiv $100 because that's chetzi nezek, and lemaisa, since his animal is worth $100, therefore Shimon has a right to come and collect the animal and take the entire animal. The Gemara begins by the fact that the Mishnah stated that Shimon will take the actual shor of Reuven, so Masisa money, who is a Mishnah going like Rabbi Kiva, it's going like the Shita Rabbi Kiva, the Tanya was learned to Braisa, Yushama shor bebezin of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel states, when a shor tam damages someone's animal, then you take the shor tam to the bezin. Bezin will evaluate the value of the shor tam, and then the owner could decide either to give the shor to the nizik, or he can pay the equivalent and he could give the nizik money. However, Rabbi Kiva says, Hukla Shar, at the moment that Reuven's shor damages Shimon's shor, immediately Shimon already owns the shor of Reuven, and therefore Reuven does not have a choice if he will give the actual shor to Shimon or he will give the monetary value, as certainly Shimon will take the shor. That's what our Mishnah means when it says, Neitel Sashar, that Shimon will take the shor of Reuven. And the Gemara explains, but Micah Mephili was machlekes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Shmuel Sava, Bachayvu, Vizuzu, Damasically. Rabbi Shmuel holds that now that Reuven's shor damages Shimon's shor, then Reuven becomes a Bachayv and he owes money to Shimon, and therefore, at the point that he pays him, he could either give him the shor or he could pay him with money. Rabbi Kiva Sava, however, Rabbi Kiva holds, Shifrininu, that the moment that Reuven's shor damages Shimon's shor, that Shimon automatically owns the part of Reuven's shor that is up to the value that Reuven owes Shimon, and therefore, it's as if Reuven and Shimon are now Shufim in this behemoth. And of course, in the case of the Mishnah, it wouldn't be that Reuven and Shimon are actually Shufim, but since Reuven's shor is only valued at $100 and Reuven owes $100 to Shimon, so therefore immediately Shimon becomes the sole owner of Reuven's shor. And the Gemara continues that the basis of the machlekes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva is not based on the Svara, but it's based on a pasuk, as of Kamilsky Behad Kra, that the machlekes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva is based on the following pasuk, and the pasuk states in Pash Mishpatim, or Machus Hashar Chai, the Chatzuas Kaspoi, so Rabbi Shmuel Sabal, the Beidinu Kamazar Rachmana, Rabbi Shmuel explains that the Torah is telling Bezdin that you should sell the live shor and then you should split the value. However, Kiva Sovel and Nizuk Mazik Mazale Rachmana, Rabbi Kiva holds, as actually speaking to the Nizuk and Mazik, is at this point, the Nizuk and Mazik are both Shufim, and therefore they're going to sell this animal, they will split the proceeds. And keep in mind that according to everyone, Pasuk is talking about a very specific case where the shor of the Mazik and the shor of the Nizuk were exactly the same value, and for example, they were both worth $200 originally, and therefore, if you make a cheshbin in any case, there will always come out that it will be exactly chetzi nezek when they split the value both of the animal of the mazik as well as the animal of the nizik. And the Gemara now asks, "My benau was enough community between the shita Rabbi Kiva and the shita Rabbi Shmuel?" And the Gemara expands, "Hegdesh nizik ikubenau, the enough community would be if the nizik went and was makdish this animal prior to going to Bezdin, as according to Rabbi Shmuel, since at this point this animal belongs completely to the mazik, certainly the nizik has no right to be makdish the animal. However, according to Rabbi Kiva, that's huchla shar, and therefore the nizik is considered a shutif in this animal. Therefore, the nizik has a right to be makdish the animal." And the Mefarshim bothered that even according to Rabbi Kiva, how could it be that the nizik will be able to be makdish this animal if we have a din that gozal v'lo nisiyai shabaylim shneim enim chayim makdishai zel lefi she'in shaloi v'zel lefi she'in b'shusai, and therefore l'chira it's not b'shus of the nizik, and how could the nizik be makdish this animal ayin isham? And Taisa Diva Masal Deshi Nizik Ikubenayo, Taisa points out having matzla meima that certainly there are other nafkaminas, the lamar yachol salkoi v'lamar in yachol salkoi, and the nafkamina will be based on the Mishnah itself, as in the Mishnah we said neitel sashar, and we said that that's going for Rabbi Kiva because you have to give him the shor and he can't be misalkim mezuzeh. And according to Rabbi Shmuel, certainly the mazik will be able to pay money to the nizik and he doesn't have to necessarily give him his shor. And Taisa continues, as we will point out on Then in the case where the mazik sells this animal, Rabbi Shmuel machlo radio kedamina b'shmeitza. According to Rabbi Shmuel, it's considered sold at least b'negeya. The fact that the lekech could use it for harisha, Rabbi Kiva in machin and according to Rabbi Kiva, it won't be considered a sale at all. And in addition, there's another nafkamina v'chein shiva mazik chichish mazik kedamina come on. And certainly in the case where the animal of the mazik goes up in value or depreciates in value, once again there will be a nafkamina between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva shitas in those cases as well. Taisa points out that the other nafkamina says well, and Taisa says that elochad min arnokad in chenami, the Gemara just brought on one of the nafkaminas, but in chenami there are multiple nafkaminas. And the Gemara continues, by minay Rav Rav Nachman, Rav is the following shadow from Nachman, machu mazik Rabbi Shmuel ma'u, according to the shita Rabbi Shmuel, that there is no shutfis over here. Let's say the mazik went and sold his animal, would that mechir be chal or not? As kivin d'amr Rabbi Shmuel b'chayv hu v'zuzu d'mazikli, do we say that since Rabbi Shmuel says that the ma'u is b'chayv and he owes money to the nizik, and therefore machu, if Reuven goes and sells this animal, then it would be a valid mechira, and Reuven would still have to pay money to Shimon. Or do we say, and we continue daf lam gilam beis, kivin de mishabeli lenizik lav kol kamine, that since lemaisa the mazik owes money to the nizik, therefore he has no right to sell this animal. In a case where the mazik doesn't have enough money to pay the nizik, then the nizik will be able to go and collect this animal. And as Rashi says, the loyav le dami shakalish l'shar, that we consider as if the Shimon the nizik has a lien against this animal, and therefore even though Reuven sold the animal, he'll be able to go and collect that animal. Rachmana shabdin nale, as the Torah says, that's meshubed to Shimon. And the Gemara tells us on Malays, Rav Nachman responded to Rava, and Eina Macha, even according to Rav Shmuel, that says that there is no shutfis, there is a lien against this animal, and therefore it would not be a valid sale. And the Gemara asks, Vatanya Macha Macha, Lemaisa, we learned in the Braisa that the sale would be a valid sale. And the Gemara explains, Chayz v'goyvay, what the Braisa means to say is that if Reuven sold this animal to Levi, then certainly it would be a valid sale. If Reuven doesn't have enough money to pay Shimon, then Shimon has a lien against this animal, and he could go could take the animal from Levi. The Gemara states, V'chim y'ach she'chayz v'goyvay, if it's true that Shimon could go and collect the animal from Levi, lama macha, so what does it mean in the Braisa when it states that it's macha? The Gemara answers L'ridya, and as Rashi says, Shem charish boi lekech in nisim to meyach rishal nizik, that if in the interim period the lekech went and used this animal and plowed with this animal, then the nizik cannot claim to the lekech that you owe me money as you use my shar, and therefore you should pay me for that value. These points of the Gemara seem to be clear and seem to be pashat according to the shita of Ishmael, and l'chayr it's a bit shver to understand the back and forth and the shakla v'tay of the Gemara, as certainly according to Rabbi Shmuel, there's no question that Shimon, who is the Nizik, doesn't own the actual Shar at this point, and he only has a lien against the Shar, and certainly there should be no reason why Reuven can't sell the rights to the Shar to someone else, at least L'ridya, for the time period that Shimon doesn't come and collect the Shar. Certainly all that Shimon has is a lien against the Shar and doesn't have any ownership in the Shar, at least according to Rabbi Shmuel. And l'chayr, the Gemara is only going through the motions and going through the steps in order to show us that l'fi Rabbi Shmuel, there's only a pure lien, and the Nizik doesn't have any ownership. And the Gemara continues that we see that according to Rabbi Shmuel, that even though this animal is only metaflin, that the Nizik would still have a lien against the metaflin, and Shma Mina, Lava Macha metaflin, that if Reuven borrowed money from Shimon, and then Reuven sold his metaflin, Bezen Goyvimlen, Bezen would be able to go and be Goyv from those metaflin, and as Rashi says, Bitmiya, Vametaflin la midi de Koy Beine, Veloy Samach Malvolayo, Vametafin Lumalakech, and certainly there is no lien against these assets, and why would you think that Bezen could go and be tired from them? If so, why would you say that according to Rabbi Shmuel, Nizik would be able to be tired of this shar from the lekeach? And the Gemara answers, Shani Hossam, that in our case, where there's a time that shtoys another animal, and you're now going to collect from the actual shar, the chamanda asoya paitaki dami, since the Torah said that you have to collect migufai, so as if the Torah says that this animal becomes an apaitaki, and therefore the Torah did create a lien against the shar, and even if the mazik would sell the shar, the Nizik can go and collect the shar from the lekeach. And the Gemara continues and asks the lechir, this question that we just had was Rava from Nachman, and Lemaisa Rava himself taught us, as Rava himself taught us, Asa Avde Apaitki Umachai, if someone makes his Eved into Apaitki and then he goes and sells it, Bachayv Gavimeno, the Bachayv could still go and collect from that Eved as it was an Apaitki, and therefore he has a lien against the Eved. However, Shari Apaitki Umachai, in Bachayv Gavimeno, if someone makes a Shar and Apaitki for a loan, then the din is the Bachayv cannot go and collect from that Shar, and therefore Lechir, in our case, even if you're going to tell me that this Shar is considered an Apaitki, but Lemaisa we said that even when someone makes a Shar and Apaitki, the din is that you can't go and collect from lekeach and doesn't create a lien. The Gemara answers that certainly there's a difference between a case of hezek and a case of halva. As Eved my timer, the reason why b'degay an Eved where you made an apaitki that b'chayv gavim menu is b'shum de'islei kala because there's a call, and therefore lekeach knew that this Eved was an apaitki, and that's why the lender has a right to go and take this from the lekeach, and hainami, in our case, kivin nagach, since the case was where this shur actually damaged someone else's shur, so kol isle, there's certainly a call, the tur nakana karle, as everyone calls it, a shur that shtais, and therefore the lekeach certainly knew at the time they purchased it that the nizik has a lien against his shur, and that's why Shimon, who was the nizik, could come and collect the shur from the lekeach. However, in a case where someone makes his shur in a paitiki, been a gay, a case of a loan, over there is no call, and therefore the lekeach can't protect himself, and that's why even though the borrower told the lender that he'll be able to collect from the shur, and he made it a paitiki, but lemaisa, the lender will not be able to go and collect from the lekeach. And prior to continuing with the next gemara, let's point out that although we stated that even according to Rabbi Shmuel, if Reuven, who is the mazik, sells his shur, that although it is a valid mechira, however, the nizik does have a right to be goyver the shur from the lekeach, and the nizik does have a lien against the shur, and Rabbi Nachman even used the term of einin macha. However, at the beginning of the next gemara, the gemara seems to ignore that point until we get to the end of the sugya, and the gemara starts Tanur Rav Tachlifa Ba'am Rava. Rav Tachlifa, who was from Eretz Yisrael, learned Kamed Ravo in front of Ravo that if there's a shur that's a tam that damages another shur, and then someone sells it, then it's not considered a valid mechira. However, Kdeisha Mukdash, if the person would be makdish it, it would be hegdish. And the gemara asks Machur Man, who are we referring to that sold the animal? Ilei Mamazik, if we're talking about a case where Mazik went and sold his shur tam, and the Braisa teaches us Machur in Machur, it's not considered a valid mechira at all. Money, Lechira, who is this going like? Rabbi Kiva, he da'ama hochla shah, because according to Rabbi Kiva, the shur of the Mazik that damaged actually belongs to the Nizik as well, and therefore the Mazik had no right to sell the shur at all. And at this point, the gemara feels that this can't be going like Rabbi Shmuel, because according to Rabbi Shmuel, if the Mazik actually has money and pays the Nizik money, then certainly it was a valid Mechira. The gemara continues that if you're talking about the Mazik, so Lechira, when it said Vekdesh Mukdash, it means that the Mazik went and was Makdash's animal, then it's considered a valid Hegdish, but a son of Rabbi Shmuel, certainly that can't be Lefi Rabbi Kiva, because according to Rabbi Kiva, Mazik is not necessarily the owner of the Shar, as it's Huchlet and it already belongs to the Nizik, and therefore, a son of Rabbi Shmuel, Lechira, this din of the Brisa is going according to Rabbi Shmuel, Dom Yushim Hashar Bezin, that holds that the Shar still belongs to the Mazik, and therefore he can be Makdash the Shar, as we stated, that was Nafkamina between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel. And the Gemara continues, Ella Nizik, and if you're going to tell me the Brisa is talking about a case where the Nizik went and sold this animal, so Machra in a Macha, Muddy Rabbi Shmuel, Lechira, when the Brisa stated that he can't sell it, that must be going like Rabbi Shmuel, because the Nizik doesn't own the Shar at this point, because Rabbi Shmuel holds the Yushim Hashar Bezin, and up until that point, it doesn't belong to the Nizik. However, that also wouldn't make sense, because Hadesha Mukdash, a son of Rabbi Kiva, Lechira, according to Rabbi Shmuel, it can't be that the Nizik could go and be Makdashit, because the Nizik doesn't own this animal at this point, and the only one we could explain the Brisa according to is Lefi Rabbi Kiva that holds that's Huchlan Ashar, and at this point, the Nizik owns a Shar, and therefore the Nizik has a right to be Makdashit. And Lechira, in any way that we're going to learn the Brisa, there seems to be a stereo between the Resha and the Sefer the Brisa, and the Gemara answers, Lo Ilam Mazik, V'divrei Hakol, really the case of the Brisa is talking about a case where the Mazik went and sold this animal, or the Mazik went and was Makdash animal, and it's going according to Rabbi Shmuel as well as according to Rabbi Kiva. And the Gemara explains, Machor in a Machor, Afil Rabbi Shmuel, that in Chanami, although this Mechira will be a valid Mechira if Reuven has money, but we're talking about a case where Reuven did not have any money, and therefore Shimon has a lien against this animal because he's the Nizik, and he could go and collect the animal from Levi, who is the buyer, the Meshtab the little Nizik, as we explained beforehand. And when the Brisa stated that Desha Mukdash, that if Reuven, who is the Mazik, goes and is Makdash's animal, that's considered Hegdish, and that then is Afil Rabbi Kiva, that even according to Rabbi Kiva, this could make sense. And even though we said that's Huchla Shar, and really the Nizik, who is Shimon, owns the animal at this point, and how could it be that Reuven could be Makdash's animal? However, Mishun Rabbo, the reason why the Brisa says that's considered Hegdish is not on the Raisidic level, but it is the Xerah based on Ravo, or Ravo, as Ravo taught us, Xerah Shem Yerimu Hegdish Yetzibalai Pidyan, as since this animal originally belonged to Reuven, and even at this point they still didn't go to Bezin, so people will think that this animal belongs to Reuven, and Reuven had a right to be Makdash's animal. And if you will say that since Reuven really did not own this animal, therefore it's not considered Hegdish, and you don't have to be paid to this animal, but people will think that this animal really belonged to Shimon and really was Hegdish, and they will come to be makel by Hegdish, and they will say that even though someone made something Hegdish, it still could be a go out l'chulin without any pidyon, and therefore they will misakin that Reuven should at least pay something in order to show that he's being paid to this animal, but he doesn't have to pay the full value. And l'chayr, keep in mind that according to Rabbi Shmuel, it would seem that in this case, since actually Reuven does own this animal, therefore Reuven has a right to be makdashit, and it would be considered a valid Hegdish midiraisa, and therefore if Reuven wants to be paid to this animal, he would actually have to pay for the full value of the animal. And also keep in mind that when the Gemara and Daflam Gimel and Aleph asked what the Nafkamin is between Rabbi Kiva and Mishmal, the Gemara stated it's the case of Hekdesha and Nizik, and it did not state it's the case of Hekdesha Mazik, because as we just saw, that if there's a case of Hekdesha Mazik, there would actually not be a full Nafkamina between between Rabbi Akiva and Shmuel, as even according to Rabbi Akiva, at least under Rabban Dick level, it would be considered Hegdish. However, in the case of Hegdish and Nizek, in that case, there's a full nafkamina between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, and according to Rabbi Shmuel, there would not be Hegdish at all, because Lamaisa, this animal belongs completely to the Mazik. However, according to Rabbi Akiva, this Hegdish would be a valid Hegdish, because at this point, the animal belongs to the Nizek, because it's Huchlut Lenizek. And the Gemara continues and brings a Braisa, and we will see that there are two parts of the Braisa. The first Braisa will talk about a Tam, and the second part will speak about a Mu'ud. As Rashi says, Kulach Braisa Mefarash Kaman, that the entire Braisa will be explained later, and therefore we'll quickly read through the Braisa. As Tanur Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa, Shor Tam Shizek, if Ruven Shor, that's a Tam, damages Shimon Shor, actually Amar Bedin, so prior to Amar Bedin, Macher Macher, it seems like Rabbi Shmuel, that if he sells it, then since the Mazik is the only owner, therefore he has a right to sell it. And of course, as we learned before, the Nizik would still have a lien against this animal. And if Reuven doesn't have money, then Shimon could go and collect this animal from the Lekeach. And Hegdesh Miktush, if the Mazik is Maktushit, then it'll be considered a valid Hegdesh. And once again, according to Rabbi Shmuel, this makes sense. That'll be considered Hegdesh. As Lemaisa, at this point, the Mazik owns it completely, as the din is that Yushim Hashar Bebezdin, and not like Rabbi Kiva, that a Huklat Hashar. And in addition, Shachtov Venasu Matana Masha Asu Asui, if Reuven goes and shechs the animal, or he gives the animal away Matana, so Masha Asu Asui, and the Gemara will explain this further. And the Braisa continues that everything that we said until this point was prior to Amar Bedin. However, Mishu Amar Bedin, if Shimon, who is the Mazik, already took Reuven to a Din Torah, and they paskin that Reuven is chayiv to pay Shimon, so certainly at this point, the Nizik is considered a shutif with the Mazik in this animal, and therefore, Machor in a Machor, if the Mazik would go and sell this animal, it would not be a Val Machira, and Hekdesha in a Muktish, and certainly if Reuven is Maktish to animal, then Hegdish would not be Chal. And also, since it's after Amar Bedin, so Shachtu Vinas Matana, if Reuven shechs this animal or gives it away matana, then certainly the matana would not be a val matana, and even though he shechted it, Reuven would still be chayiv to pay Shimon for any diminution in value. And the Braisa continues, if Reuven did not only owe money to Shimon based on the fact that his shor damaged Shimon's shor, but Reuven also owed money to Levi because he borrowed money from Levi, and Levi was his lender. Now Levi comes and is goyvo the chayiv from Reuven, and he takes the shor as payment for the debt that Reuven owes him. The Braisa tells us, it doesn't make a difference if Levi's chayiv came before the hezek that Reuven caused to Shimon, or if the hezek that Reuven caused to Shimon happened before Reuven owed money to Levi, that certainly Levi could not be goyved the shor, as Shimon already had a mother bedin, and therefore Shimon had already an ownership right in this animal, since Reuven's animal was a tam, and therefore Reuven has to pay from the animal itself to Shimon, and since it's already after a mother bedin, so Shimon already has ownership rights in this animal, and therefore Levi can come and take this animal from Reuven. And even if Levi will be typhus, then and as the Gemara stated, and as we stated, the Gemara will explain this entire Braisa. The Braisa continues to discuss the case of a Mu'ud. Mu'ud Shehizik, if there's an animal of Reuven that's a Mu'ud, and it's Mazik, Shimon's animal, it doesn't make a difference if there was Hamad Bedin or no Hamad Bedin. So since the din is that you go in Aliyah and not Megufai, therefore Macher Macher, if the Mazik sells this animal, it's considered valid mechira. Similarly, Hekdesh Mukdash, if the Mazik is Maktish, the animal is considered Hekdesh. Shacht v'nasim atonim asha asa asoi, that's considered a valid mechira and a valid shechita. Karim bal chayv v'gbiyo, bein chayv at shalei hizu, bein shizu at shalei chav, masha asa asa, lefi she'im ishtalim, and al min aliyah. And we certainly look at this animal as belonging completely to the Mazik, and not to the Nizik. And the Gemara now begins and explains the Braisa. Amma, we just stated, Macher Macher, certainly this Braisa doesn't seem to be going like Rabbi Kiva. As a coin to Rabbi Kiva, the din should be that's not considered mechira, as the Mazik and Nizik are shutuf in this animal, and therefore this part of Braisa is going lefi shitas Rabbi Shmuel, and it's telling us that even though Reuven has a right to sell this animal, ultimately if the Mazik doesn't have enough money to pay the Nizik, then the Nizik has a lien against this animal, and he can collect this animal from the Lekeach, and even though there was a lien, the Lekeach would not have to compensate the Nizik any usage that he used this animal prior to the Nizik collecting the animal. And the Gemara continues, Vegdesh Muktash Meshum Dravo, and the reason why it's considered Hegdish, according to Rabbi Shmuel, seems to be that it should be valid Hegdish, because Lemaisa, this animal belongs completely to the Mazik, but even according to Rabbi Kiva, it would be considered Hegdish, at least based on Xerah Ravo, since people think that the Mazik owns this animal completely, therefore we require the Mazik to pay something in order to be paid from Hegdish, and as the Gemara stated, Xerah Shem Yemu Hegdish Yetzu Bilei Pidyon. However, I and the Mepharshim who discussed that maybe even according to Rabbi Shmuel, the din would be that this would only be a din of Hegdish Midrabanan, and only based on Xerah Ravo. And the Gemara continues, Shachtu V'nasu Matana, in the case where the Mazik shechs the animal, or he gave away Matana, Masha Asa Asai, and the Gemara says, Bishlam Minasim Matana, Bishlam, in the case we gave him Matana, Masha Asa Asa L'Ridya, like we explained before, that at least Benegay is man between the time that he gave it in Matana to Levi and the time that Shimon came to collect the Hezek from Levi. Bishmol agrees that certainly Shimon will not be able to require Levi compensate him for the amount of time that he used the animal in order to plow his field. With El Shachtoi, when the Brisa stated that Reuven went and checked the animal, Masha Asa Asa, and it's Mashma that Shimon can't go and collect from this animal at all. Let Shimon go and collect the bust of the animal. And what does the Brisa mean when it says Masha Asa Asa? The Tanya, as we looked at the Brisa, when the Pasuk says, V'chigav Shar Ish Ashari Eo V'meis U'machur Is Ashar Chai V'chatsu Is Chasper V'gam Is Hames Yachatzon, and we learn that when the Pasuk says Chai, Ein Lel Chai, we would think that that animal has to still be alive. Shachter Min Ayin, how do you know if the Mazik's animal was already Shachat that you still will be able to collect from the bust of the animal? Tam Leim U'machur Is Ashar, it says you sell the Shar Mikol Makom, no matter what the Shar is, and even if the Shar is actually dead, you'd still be able to collect from the Shar. And if so, why did the Gemara say Masha Asa Asoi, if L'chair Shimon should be able to collect from the bust of the Shar? And the Gemara answers, Amar Shizbi L'nitzuchal Pras Shchita, when the Brisa stated Masha Asa Asoi, it means that there's a certain diminution of value based on the fact that Reuven went and shecht this Shar. Shimon can't go and claim to Reuven that you have no right to shecht the Shar, and you owe me the difference in this value, and Shimon will only be able to collect from the bust of the Shar, and can't collect any other value, and in a Chinami, Shimon could certainly go and collect the bust of the Shar. And the Gemara continues, Amar Rav Huna Beit Rav Shua, so Rav Huna Beit Rav Shua said, Zayis Emeris, from this din that we just mentioned in Brisa, we see that Mazik Shibut Shel Chaver Pata, Reuven owes $1,000 to Shimon. Reuven had a field which was worth $1,000 at the time of the loan, and then during the time period when Reuven owes this money to Shimon, he goes and he destroys the field. And for example, Reuven goes and digs pits and digs ditches in this field, and instead of the field being worth $1,000 at this point, the field is only worth $500. So Shimon can't claim to Reuven that you have no right to do this, and you owe me an additional $500. And certainly at this point, this field belonged to Reuven, and Shimon only had a lien against the field. Gemara is Pshita D'Alachari, what is Rav Huna Beit Rav Shua saying? Zoy Semeres, that we learned this din from the din we just mentioned, and it seems he's teaching us a chiddush. If L'Chari, it's exactly the same case, and therefore it's Pashut. And the Gemara answers, Ma'aru Tema, Hasumu Da'amale, Le'chasar Teich B'lei Midi. And maybe the only time that your Pata is in a case that's similar to ours, Reuven owed the Shar, which was Mazik Shimon Shar, and Reuven went and shechted that Shar. And in that case, we would say that Shimon can't have any ties to Reuven, as Reuven will respond to Shimon, Da'amale, Zika Ba'amahu, the Shakli Minach, the Almaisa, although I shechted this animal, but I only took the ear out of it, and I only took the wind out of it, and this is really the same animal, and therefore I don't have any responsibility. Alba Alma, but in a case where Reuven owes a kaka to Shimon, and then Reuven actually digs in the field and he ruins the kaka, L'chayim, maybe in that case, Reuven should be chayim to Shimon, Kamashmal, and that is the chiddush of Rav Huna Beit Rav Shua, that even in that case, Reuven will be pata. And the Gemara continues, that L'chayim, you're telling me that there's a chiddush in the words of Rav Huna Beit Rav Shua, L'maisa Hanami, Rabbi Amra, that L'maisa we could learn this din of Rav Huna Beit Rav Shua from the member of Rabbah, and therefore why would Rabbi Huna Beit Rav Shua have to teach us this din? And Rashi points out, Rabbah Adam Chashav Haya, Rabbah was an Adam Chashav, Umay Adam Chashav Kuhin Rabbah Rabbah Pachina Ki'ilu Ksib B'Mishnah Ibibraisa, and from a member of Rav or from Rabbah, we could ask an other Amira that it's as if it was written in a Mishnah or a Braisa, and therefore why Rav Huna Beit Rav Shua have to teach us this din if Rabbah already said a similar din? Dam Rabbah, because Rabbah taught us, Haseir Shtarais Shachaveir Pata, that if Reuven goes and burns up the Shtarais of Shimon, and therefore he causes Shimon a loss, because now Shimon doesn't have a Shtar Raya in order to collect for his Shtar, din is that Reuven is Pata, as Reuven didn't actually damage something that belonged L'maisa and B'metzias to Shimon, and he only had a Shibud that was burnt, and nothing more. And therefore, L'chayra, in the case of Rav Huna Beit Rav Shua, that would be the same din, and the din would be that even though Reuven went and he damaged the field that was Meshubat to Shimon, that Reuven will be Pata, and L'chayra was the Chiddush of Rav Huna Beit Rav Shua. Gemara answers, the din of Rav Huna Beit Rav Shua could not be learned from the din of Rabbah, as we would be able to make a Chilik. Ma'ar Tema, you may think, Hasum de Amale, in the Yerba Amma, Kali Minach, the L'maisa, in the case of Rabbah, we could say the reason why Reuven is Pata, because Reuven tells Shimon, I only burnt a piece of paper. Aval Hecha de Chafa Babar Yashid Chamaris, but in the case where Reuven went and damages the actual field, and it's something that happened Be'en, maybe in that case he should be Chayiv, and Kamash Mal, and that's the Chiddush of Rav Huna Beit Rav Shua, and even in this case, Reuven will be Pata. And that's why Rav Huna Beit Rav Shua specifically said his member on Abraisa, the Hacha Kaman de Chafa Babar Yashid Chamaris Tami, the Kama Masha Asa Asoi, that we see in Abraisa, that even though it's similar to the case of digging Bar Yashid Chamaris as something that was done Be'en, just like in the case in Abraisa, where Reuven went and shechted his animal, which was the animal that was Mazik, and even so we said Yapata, and therefore Rav Huna Beit Rav Shua proves that in this case it would also be Pata. And the Gemara continues to explain the last part of the Brisa that stated Kadbu Balachayvus Vigbiu Ben Chav Atchle Hizik Ben Hizik Atchle Chav Le'asav Le'Klom L'Fishein Mishalim El Megufai. We learned that if Reuven's Shar damages Shimon's Shar, and Reuven Shor was a Tam, and meanwhile Reuven owes money to Levi, and Levi now comes and tries to collect from Reuven Shor, the din is that Levi's collection will not be valid, because L'maisa Reuven Shor is Meshubet to Shimon Shor, since L'maisa, the only way that Shimon could get paid is only Migufay, and only from this actual Shor. And the Gemara explains, Bishlema Hizik Achlechav Nizak and Kadmu, that certainly in the case where Reuven Shor actually damaged Shimon Shor prior to him borrowing the money from Levi, since Shimon's lien took effect prior to Levi's lien, therefore Shimon's lien takes precedence, it takes preference over Levi's lien. And what the Gemara is, Avachav Achlechizik Bachayv Kadim, but L'chayr, if Reuven already took out his loan prior to his Shor damaging Shimon's Shor, then L'chayr, Levi's lien took precedence and took preference over Shimon's lien. And L'chayr, why would the Brisa state that Le'os V'le'klum, and L'chayr, Levi should have the right to take the Shor in payment for his Chayv? We continue on Daf Lamed Aleph Daf Afilu Hizik Achlechav, and even in the case where the Hezek actually occurred before the Chayv occurred, and Shimon really has preference over Levi, but L'maisa B'Chayv Kadim, since Levi came and actually collected his debt from something which was metaltan prior to Shimon coming and collecting his debt, and even so we say that it's not considered a valid collection and Shimon will be able to take this back from Levi, but Shema Minah, so L'chayv we should be able to bring a raya from this braisa that B'Chayv Ma'ucha Shekadim V'Gava Ma'Shegava Lo'Gava. If a B'Chayv who is in second position comes and actually collects and is typhus, then the din is that you would actually be able to take away from that B'Chayv. The B'Chayv that has precedence will be able to take away that item from the B'Chayv. That's why Shimon, whose hezek occurred before Levi lent money to Reuven, has a right to take this animal back from Levi. But L'chayr, this should be based on a machlekes in Masechet Ksubis, and L'maisa ben Anas holds over there, Masha Gava Gava, and L'chayr, this price would be going against that Shita. And the Gemara answers, Lo Ilum Eim L'cha Masha Gava Gava. Generally, we would say that if there are two people that lend money to Reuven, and even if the second person goes and collects from Metaltlin, then certainly it would be considered a valid collection, and the first one that lent money will not be able to go and take away that money. The Shani Hassan, but in our case, we were not talking about a Halva, and we're talking about a case of Hezek. So in this case, since the Hezek occurred before the Halva, so specifically in this case, we say that Shimon, who is the Nizik, can go and collect from the Malva and can collect from the Levi. As the Amalei, Shimon will be able to say to Levi, as Ilu Gabachava, as even if you would have had the debt previously and you would have already collected this animal, if your animal would have shtoyst my animal, I would have collected from this animal, the Haytur, the Askim, my name is Shtalmano, as I will collect from the animal that damaged my animal. Since this animal is a Tam and Migufa Mishalim, therefore I'm able to collect from this animal, and even though you went and grabbed onto this animal, I come and collect from my lien, and my lien takes precedence over your lien. And in Tap Taisus, Taisus points out the obvious question, Tema, L'chayr, this Tain of Shimon doesn't make any sense, as Ein Chanami, in a case where Levi would have actually collected this animal from Reuven, and then the animal would have shtoyst Shimon's animal, then certainly Shimon has a Taina that he would now go and collect from Levi's animal, because Levi was Peshea and he didn't guard his animal. However, since in our case the story was where Reuven was the one who was Peshea, then Levi went and collected the animal from Reuven based on a pre-existing Chayiv, why would we say that Shimon's lien is a stronger lien than Levi's? If L'maisa at this point of the Gemara, we're going according to the Madama that B'Chayiv Ma'ucha Shekadim V'Gavah Ma'Shegavah is Gavah, and therefore Levi should have a right to this animal, and how could Shimon come and take away the animal from Levi? It doesn't mean that this is exactly what it will say, but the real tine of Shimon is that since my lien is only on this animal, and this animal is the one that actually caused damage to my animal, therefore I have a stronger lien than you, and even though by the Geir, standard case of Bachayiv, there is a din that Bachayiv Ma'uch Shekanav Gava, Mashagava Gava, in the case where there's a Bachayiv that's collecting before a Nizik that had a pre-existing debt, then over there, all would agree that Mashagava Loigava, and the Nizik would have a stronger lien, Ayin Sham, and we will stop over here.